Okay, today's daf, tomorrow's daf actually, but Monday's daf is Sukkah daf Yud Beis. We are holding on the bottom of daf Yud Aleph and Beis. We're going to pick up at the two dots on Yud Aleph and Beis at Klal. Today's shiur sponsor was given by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. And what the Gemara is going to talk about first is how we know that Tzchach has to be something that's not Mekabel Tumah. And in that context, we're going to talk about the two possibilities of what the Sukkah is supposed to commemorate, whether it's the Anane HaKavod or the Sukkos Mamish. And then the Gemara, the Mishnah, on Amud Aleph, is going to talk about if you throw bundles of Tzchach on top of your Sukkah, and then whether you untie them, if that's going to be kosher for Tzchach, or if you just leave them there, if that's kosher for Tzchach. And that's going to lead us into a discussion of the concept of Ta'aseh V'lo Mina Asui, that we've already began to discuss that concept, but specifically, we're going to contrast two separate klalim. One is a din d'oraisa of ta'aseh v'lo mina asui, and there's another din d'rabanan of a gzeiras otzer. And the Gemara is going to try to describe when we apply the din d'oraisa of ta'aseh v'lo mina asui, and when do we apply the gzeiras otzer. So let's begin at the two dots on daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, says the Gemara. So we had said in the Mishnah that Zayaklal, called Dovish and Mekabel Tumah, anything that's Mekabel Tumah and does not grow from the ground, you cannot use for Schach. And we said, called Dovish and Mekabel Tumah, and Ein Gidulah Min Aretz means or Ein Gidulah Min Aretz. One or the other is a psul in Schach. If it's either not Mekabel Tumah, if it either rather is Mekabel Tumah or it does not grow from the ground, that would be possible for Schach. Minani Mili, how do I know that Schach Kasher has to be something that's not Mekabel Tumah and that grows from the ground? So I'm Reish Lakish, I'm a Krav, the Eid Yala Min Ha'aretz. The Pasuk says, the Eid Yala Min Ha'aretz. And since the mitzvah of Sukkah is a zecher to the shade that's provided by the Anane HaKavod, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for us as we were leaving Mitzrayim, right? That's what the Pasuk says, Kiva Sukkos HaShafti Yisbnei Yisrael Botzios HaMeretz Mitzrayim. And Unklus is Metargim on that Pasuk, Aribim Metalt Anane, that it's Ananim. So we learn the din of Schach from Ananim. So ma a davar shein mekabel tuma, just like a cloud is something that's not mekabel tuma, because tuma only applies to kelim, to ochlim, to mashkim, to adam, but you never find tuma applying to a cloud. Because a cloud it doesn't fit any of the categories of tuma, so mele it's not mekabel tuma. Ugidulo min haaretz, and so too it's gidulo min haaretz. Pasuk says eidyal min haaretz. So to a sukkah has to fit both of those criteria. It has to be something that's not mekabel tumah, and it has to be something that's gidulo min haaretz. So says Gemara, okay, but honey, chalaman diyamar anani kavod hayu. That only works if you assume like the shita that when the pasuk says kibas sukkos hashavti asminei yisrael b'tzios amritz Mitzrayim, it's a reference to the anani akavod that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for us when we were leaving Mitzrayim. So then I understand, since the yikar din of a sukkah is derived from the anani akavod, so I could learn the dinim of schach from the rules of ananya, from the criteria, from the qualifications, from the nature of ananya kavod. El mandi amr sukos mamish asulam. But Rabbi Akiva, who holds that the pasuk is actually describing sukos mamish, that the Bnei Yisrael, as we were traveling through the midbar, made for ourselves. So ma'ikal meimer. Then what's the basis for the learning the dinim of sukkah from ananim, from the eidyalim in haaretz? How could we derive the dinim of sukkahs from ananim if sukkahs are not meant to commemorate ananim? Where do we find that there's even such a machlokas? Netanya, because the Braisa tells us, pasuk says, Kiva sukkos hashavti yisbnei Yisrael, but yisamim yisrael, pasuk continues. So anani kavod hayu divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, it's a reference to the anani kavod. But Rabbi Akiva omer sukkos mamish asulahem, that it's not the anani kavod, it's sukkos mamish that they made. So hanichal Rabbi Eliezer. So now the Gemara formulates that I understand very well, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the basis of the Hechsher Schach is from Anane HaKavod. It makes a lot of sense, because Rabbi Eliezer holds that the basis of Sukkah is Anane HaKavod. So it makes a lot of sense that we're going to derive the Dinim of Ein Mekabel Tumah and Gidulim in Aretz from Anane HaKavod. That makes perfect sense. But if you hold that it's Sukkos Mamish, El Rabbi Akiva, Ma'ikal Meimar, but according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that it's Sukkos Mamish, how are we going to explain what the basis is for this din that Adam Shein Mekabel Tumah Im Gedul Minaretz Zayin Misachin Bo? So Kiyos Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kra Chag Sukkos Tasa Lecha Makish Sukkah Lecha Giga. So he had a different limud. Pasuk says Chag Sukkos Tasa Lecha, so he makes a hekish between a sukkah and a korban chagiga. Ma chagiga davar shein mekabel tuma v'gidul min aretz. Just like a korban chagiga is a behema. Behema is not mekabel tuma. Whenever the Torah describes a behema tuma, it just means a non-kosher animal. But a behema doesn't have the capacity to be mekabel tuma. Certainly, as long as it's alive. Once it's dead, so then it has tumas nevela, and you know certainly it can be mekabel tuma. But while it's alive, a behema does not have the capacity to be mekabel tuma. And a behema is also considered to be gidula min aretz. That's a bit of a chiddush, right? That a behemah is considered gidula min aretz. Rashi explains how can you say a behemah grows from the ground? A behemah has a mother and father. So the assumption is that since it feeds off of the ground, it's considered to be gidule karka. Or Rashi says, according to Rav Dimi, it could be that you could be misake chasuka with oros behemah. But maskana, we reject Rav Dimi, and it's also to be misake with oros behemah. Others disagree with Rashi about this, but that's how Rashi seems to understand that if you say that you derive from behema, so then maybe enechinami, you could actually use parts of a behema for schach, saaf sukkah, but that's where we derive the dinim of sukkah, that it's davashenim mekabel tuma v'gidula min ha'aretz. That sukkah also should come only from that which is enim mekabel tuma and is gidula min ha'aretz. The Marcheshes raises the following question: is it so true? Is it such a given that behema is not mekabel tuma? That by bali chayim we don't have kabbalas tuma? We do find kabbalas tuma by bali chayim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, later on in Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, he holds that a behema can become a golel lekever. That when it comes to covering a kever, so there's a kabbalas tuma on the golel, the dofek of the kever, and that a behema could serve as the golel. It's machlokas rishonim exactly what golel is, but let's assume like the slab that's over the kever. So behema could be used for that purposes. So how could the Gemara say that it's not mekabel tuma? So he suggests, based on what Tosfos writes in Baba Kama Daf Samach Vav and Beis, that a person is not miyachid something that's eno shelo, and therefore a gazlan who steals oros of balabatim that are not mechusar that are complete oros to be mekabel tuma. You only have to be miyachid. All they need to be mekabel tuma is to be miyachid them for shchiva. So for the gazlan to be miyachid them for shchiva does not give them the status of tuma. So then you understand that a behemah shel chulin could be mekabel tuma while it's alive if you make it a golel lekever, but a korban chagiga can never become a golel lekever, because a korban chagiga, according to Rashi, a golel is a kisoy for an aron of a mace, and according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a matseva. It's not shy to do it unless you are miyachidit for that purpose, but you're not allowed to be miyachid behemah kachim for that purpose. So as it turns out, there's no possibility of using any sort of behemah as a golel lekever. So that's how the Marcheshes tries to work out in Siman Yotzes. He tries to work out if that's in fact true, that a behema is not ever mekabel tuma. So says the Gemara, but wait a second, according to this idea that we're going to learn this din of schach from carbon chagiga, so then we should have made the drasha. I mean, we understand the drasha, but the drasha should have said that ima chagiga balichayim af sukanami balichayim. Korban chagiga is balei chayim, so if I'm going to derive the dinim of sukkah from korban chagiga, so sukkah should have to be made out of balei chayim. So obviously we're not going to use chagiga as the basis, because you don't have to make your sukkah out of balei chayim. So because of that, the Gemara brings another source that schach kasher is something from something that's not mekabel tuma and something that is gidulo min haaretz. So again, so far our sources were ve'edial min haaretz, and we learned it from the fact that sukkahs are anane kavod, that sukkahs commemorate anane kavod, so it's got to be similar to a cloud. And the second possibility was that it's based on korban chagiga. Now a third possibility. Kiyasa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he reported in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Amar Kra, Pasuk says, Ba'aspecha migarnecha umiyekvecha. So we darshan b'psalas goren v'yekav akasim medaber, that the sukkah should be made from that which is left over from the grain after you've already taken out the kernels that are usable of the grain, or the grape vines after you've already taken off the grapes, the empty vines. Those are the kinds of things that you can use for schach, the psoles of the gurin and yakev, which implies just the wood, the pieces that, whatever grows from the ground, that's not mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, okay, but how do I know it's talking about psoles gurin yakev? Ve'ima gurin atzmo, ve'yakev atzmo. Maybe it's telling me that what I should use for schach is the actual grain, or the actual grape clusters of grapes. How do I know that, and those things are food, and therefore they are mekabel tumah. So how do I know that schach has to be something from, has to be made from that which is not mekabel tumah? I'm Rabbi Zeira, yekev ksiv kan, v'yev shal desakech bo. Because the pasuk says yekev, and it can't be, yekev means wine, it doesn't mean grapes. So it can't be that you're going to use wine as schach. How would you manage to have liquefied schach? It would just be impossible to keep, physically impossible to keep on top of your sukkah. So since it can't be talking about actual wine, it must be talking about the psoles, goren v'yakev. So maskev Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah challenges, ve'ema yayin karash habami shenir, that there was a place called shenir, that they had congealed wine, shudomali gule dvela, that was thick like gule dvela, and it was shayich to be misakech with them. So how do you know that yakev means psoles gurin v'yakev? Maybe yakev means actual wine, but it means congealed, clustered up wine that you can actually make a sealing out of. So Rabbi Zeira, hamil sahava biyadon. Up until now, we thought we knew the reason for our Mishnah that schach has to be from something that's not mekabel tumah, and that's gidulam in the aretz from this pasuk psoles gurin v'yakev. Vas Rabbi Yirmiyah shadu benarga, and then Rabbi Yirmiyah came and he ruined the whole thing. He chopped it all down with an axe, meaning he gave a really good rejection of what we thought we knew. So the Tosus points out in Dibur Maskul Amar that even though Rabbi Zeira is saying that he doesn't know how to answer Rabbi Yirmiyah's question, that he thought he had such a good answer that psoles gurin v'yakev, that's what it's all based on, and Rabbi Yirmiyah ruined everything, but he still holds from the pasuk psoles gurin of bas b'chamo gurin chom yigvecha, we darshan this din to be misakeh chasukah from psoles gurin v'yakev. The Gemara says so explicitly in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Gimel. So even though he doesn't have an answer handy for this question, and therefore he says, you know, we shadu benarga, you know, we ruined the whole mahalich, but he really does hold this way lahalacha, that that's really where we learn it from. So Rav Ashi says from the pasuk itself, you could be medayek that we're not talking about goren atzmo v'yekev atzmo. We're not talking about the actual grain and the actual wine. It's talking about the psoles goren v'yekev. How do I know? Because it says migarnecha v'lo goren atzmo, mi yikvecha v'lo yekev atzmo. It says migarnecha, mi yikvecha, from that which emerges from the goren, from that which emerges from the yekev, but not the yekev itself. It's the byproduct of gurin v'yakev. That's what you use for schach. And then another possible source, a fourth possible source for how I know that schach has to be something that's not mekabel tumah and is gidulo min ha'aretz. The says Gemara of Chista Amar Mehacha. It's based on a pasuk in Sefer Nehemiah that Ezra commanded to tell the people who returned from Galus, Su'u ha'har va'viu alei zayis v'alei etz shemen v'alei hadas v'alei tamarim v'alei etz avos. And it's important to know the end of the pasuk. Laso sukos kakosuv. That's the end of the pasuk. To build sukkahs. So he's telling them to be misakich for sukkahs, and whatever's mentioned in the pasuk is apparently things that you could be misakich with. Things that are not megadol, and they all happen to be things that are not mekabel tumah and that are gidulim in haaretz. So you see, from the fact that Ezra was giving suggestions as to what they should use to build sukkos when they came back from Galus Bavel, he was getting them ready for Yantif. So he was telling them, you know, it's time to buy a new sukkah. You just moved. You came back from Bavel. You're going to need a sukkah. So here's what you need to gather for a sukkah. So we see very clearly that the items that he's identifying for them are all things that are gedulim in haaretz and are all things that are not mekabel tumah, says the Gemara. But wait a second. That pasuk in Sefer Nehemiah, it seems repetitive in its own right. Hainu hadas, hainu etz avos. The word hadas and etz avos are synonymous with each other, because after all, when the Torah tells us that we have to take hadasim, what does it call it? It calls it va'anaf etz avos. And we know that that's a reference to hadasim, because hadasim are called anaf etz avos because the leaves are like chained together, because you have three growing at one spot, and then the next spot up looks a little bit like a chain. So why does he have to say both hadas and etz avos? So Amrav Chista, hadas shota l'sukkah ve'etz avos l'lulav. Now there are two types of hadasim, and he was telling them to get both types. There's a hadashota. Hadashota means that you have two leaves growing out of one spot, and the third leaf is like a little bit up. It's not growing out of the same spot. So it's off kilter, meaning something is supposed to be expected in one place, and like there's one thing that's out of whack. So that's what we call a shota. That a shota, very often, the shota is a very intelligent person, but he's got like one thing that's totally out of whack. Meaning that's how Rav Nevin Sal, in one of his sichos, explains that a person only sins if he's a shota. It's because like there's a particular value that's just out of whack, you know, a particular cheshbono shel olam that the person's not making of the value of olam hazeh versus olam haba. That a hadas shota is that just there's just one thing that's totally off. So what Ezra was telling them was, get both. You need a regular hadas because that you need for your lulav. But even a hadas shota, don't discard a hadas shota. That's good for schach. You'll be able to use it for schach because it's gidulim in aretz. Eina mekabel tumah. It fits all the qualifications that you need for schach. Okay, new Mishnah. Chavile kash, chavile yitzim, chavile zradin. If a person takes different types of reeds, bundles of reeds, ein mesachin behem, when they're still tied together, you're not allowed to use them as schach. Even though the reeds are perfectly kosher as a material to use for schach, they're not mekabel tumah, they're gidulim in aretz. But the Chacham said you're not allowed to be mesachich with bundles because we're afraid that maybe you're going to put them on your sukkah to dry the bundles, and then you're going to say, oh, you know what? Once they're up there, I might as well use them for schach as well. And that would be a psul of tasav lo min asui, because at the time that you place the schach on the sukkah, it has to be l'shem tzel. You can't have it being placed there for some other purpose and then later on decide you can use it l'shem tzel, l'shem sukkah. So the chacham more goes there not to be misakich with bundles at all when they're tied up, even if your kavana initially when putting it there is l'shem schach. That's what the Gemara calls a gzeiras otzer. Gzeiras otzer means that really, if I'm putting these bundles up l'shem schach, it should really be fine. But the chamur goes there that no, it's not going to be fine because they're concerned that I might put up bundles not l'shem schach and then just leave them there l'shem schach, and that would not be valid on a d'oraisa level. So the chamur made this gezeira against using these bundles. But the kulan sheitiran ksheros. But if you take these bundles and you untie them and you in order to for them to spread out over the sukkah l'shem tzel, so then it's going to be perfectly kosher. And that works whether you tie them before you place them on top of the sukkah or whether you tie them after you place them on top of the sukkah, because untying them itself is a maisa that's being done l'shem tzel, so it's not going to be tasav lo min asui because you're actually doing a significant maisa on them at the time that you're untying them. The Rishonim of Machlokas, whether the maisa atara helps for the chavilos that you put there to dry or not, meaning we're not going to have a gzeira if you put up chavilos there to use for schach, so we made a gzeira that you can't leave it just like that. Okay, but now that I untie it, so since I in any way initially put it there for schach, so that's got to be okay. But what if I initially actually put those bundles there just to dry off in the sun, just for them to be able to dry? So and then I untie it. Is that enough of a maisa to take away the problem of tasav lo min asui? So Tosus writes that yeah, untying it is also called a maisa, and therefore if you put the chavila, you put the bundle there to dry, so it helps to do the hatara. Whereas the Torah in Siman Tav Resh Chavtes quotes Ari Mikarkashina that says that hatara is not a maisa, and it does not help to untie chavilos that you had put there for the sake of drying. The only time when the Mishnah says hatara helps, it means if you put the chavilos there for the sake of using as schach, and the only problem was a problem midrabanan. So when you're matir it, that's okay for the problem midrabanan. So that is machlokas rishonim. But v'kulan, all of the things that you're not allowed to use for schach, all of the different minim, like tied up bundles or any other material, are ksheros l'defanos. They're all kosher to use for walls of a sukkah. Because the limud of basvcha migarnecha miyekvecha psolus garn viyekev, all of that is only for the schach, because al shem haschach nikre sukkah, it's not meant for the defanos. Now it's interesting though, because sometimes in this parak we've already seen that when we refer to sukkos, we are referring to the defanos. How do we know how many walls you're supposed to have in the sukkah, right? So we had a machlokas: is it two and change? Is it three and change? In terms of how many walls those at the vavam beis, right? How many walls you're supposed to have in the sukkah? So we said, oh, it must be that they're arguing how to darsh in the words pasukos, 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 or is it pasukas, pasukas, pasukos, or is it right in the yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemesoros. But what's the word that we're looking at to determine the defanos? It's pasukos. So you're going to tell me every time we refer to sukkah, it's only the schach, it's not the defanos? So that's a little bit difficult. So Rashi raises that question. It sounds like the defanos are also called a sukkah. So Rashi suggests that the limud of the number of walls is not from the mashmaus of the word sukkah. The defanos are not included in the word sukkah. That's clear in our sukkah. It's just the fact that those words are extra, so we use them for something. It's similar to the notion of im eino inyan lezeh, tenei inyan lezeh, that if it can't be applied for what it's actually saying, so we use it for some additional drasha. So that's why the walls can be made out of anything. So now says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yaakov, Shamanit Rabbi Yochanan, Tarti. I heard two reasons for two separate dinim from Rabbi Yochanan, and I have a hard time figuring out which reason applies to which din. So Chadaha, one reason Rabbi Yochanan gave is for the din in our Mishnah, that if you take bundles of kash and bundles of etzim and you put them on your sukkah, it's no good. The idach, and the other reason that he provided, was for a Mishnah that we're going to have later on, avachotit begadish lasos osukah in a sukkah. That if a person takes a pile of hay and hollows out a 10 tefach high area, 7 by 7 tefach in length and width, inside that pile, that it's not a valid sukkah. So those are two halachas. We have one halacha that bundles on top of your sukkah are no good. Another halacha that if you hollow out an area in a pile, it's not a valid sukkah. What's the logic for each halacha? Well, he explained both of them. One of these halachas he explained is because of a gzeira, midrabanon, a gzeira sotzer, and the other is because of tasav lo menasui. But one thing I'm unclear about is which of these dinim is based on a gzeira sotzer, and which of these dinim is based on tasav lo menasui. That part he didn't explain. So I'm Rabbi Yirmi, and Nechzi Anan. So Rabbi Yirmi says, so let's use our heads. Let's figure it out. Which one makes more sense? Why do the Rabbanan say that you're not allowed to be misakich with bundles of wood and bundles of reeds and things like that? After all, they're not mekabel tumah, they're gidula min haaretz, because it's pa'amim shadam ba min asada be'erev. Sometimes a person's going to come home from the field in the evening during the summertime, v'chavilas al kseif, and he's going to have a bundle of reeds on his shoulders, that, and the reeds are moist because he got them from the agam or something, he got them from the swamps. Mumalu menichal gabi sukaso. So he's going to think, you know, the best place to dry them is I'll throw them over the sukkah, kedei liavsha, in order to dry them. It's summertime. Why does he have a sukkah? The sukkah is not for chag. The sukkah is for his cattle or whatever to find some shade. So he thought, I'll throw it over the sukkah in the sun in order to dry these reeds. And then after some time, v'nimlach aleha l'sikuch, he says, you know what? Sukkot is coming up right after the summer. Right? It's sooner than you know it. Tisha B'Av is behind us already. You know, before you know it, it's Elul. Sukkot is coming up anyhow. So I might as well leave it there for the Chag. V'atorah amra tasav lo menasui. And the Torah says, that's tasav lo menasui, that you're not allowed to leave it that way. Now, what are we describing over here? What we're describing is a gzeira, meaning even though we're using the term tasav lo menasui, we're describing that this is a gzeira mishum, it might come to tasav lo menasui. So it's a little bit confusing because the Gemara says there are two reasons that are provided. One is gzeira sotzer, the other is tasav lo menasui. We don't know which is which. Okay, so let's figure it out. So this one is gzeira sotzer, but the one that's gzeira sotzer, the words that are actually used are tasav lo menasui, but it's really gzeira sotzer. This is saying that it's a gzeira mishum tasav lo menasui. So midaha mishum gzeira sotzer, if the thing about the bundles is a gzeira sotzer, that you can't put bundles on top of your sukkah because I'm afraid that you might put it there initially, not l'shem schach. So hamishum tasav lo menasui must be that the other din of being chotit begadish, of hollowing out an area in a pile of hay, that must be a din of tasav lo menasui. V'Rabbi Yaakov hachter Rabbi Chiya bar Abba lo shmiyalei. And Rabbi Yaakov, who wasn't sure which din Rabbi Yochanan explained with which explanation, he didn't know that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba had such a memra that said explicitly that it was mishum gzeres otzer. So it turns out that Rabbi Yochanan holds that our mishnah is talking about where you take chavilos of etzim, you put it up l'shem schach, and really on a daraisa level it should therefore be kosher. the Rabbanan are only concerned lest you might not put it up l'shem schach, and then it's going to be tasav lo menasui. So Amar Ravashi asks on Rabbi Yochanan, Atu chaviu kash chaviu etz mishum gzeres otzer ikam mishum tasav menasui leka. Is there only a gzeres otzer problem when you use bundles of wood that you throw on top of your sukkah? Isn't it possible to have a daraisa problem as well? Meaning, it's possible to say that our Mishnah is talking about where you put the chavilos not l'shem schach. You put bundles on top of your sukkah l'shem to dry, and not l'shem tzel. And in such a case, it would be psul midaraisa. So our Mishnah might be talking about a real tasav l'menasui problem. How do you know that our Mishnah is talking about a case where you throw bundles on l'shem tzel? Oh, and it's only a gzera. The only real problem is a gzera. You might come not to do it l'shem tzel. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about a case where you actually didn't do it l'shem tzel, and it actually is a problem midaraisa. Not only that, the case of hollowing out in the Gaddish, is that only a problem in Darais of Tasav Lanasui? Is there no way to explain that as a Gzera Sotzer? Can't that be a problem on a Drabana level? Meaning, after all, Rabbi Yochanan could have explained that Mishnah to be talking about a case where you knock down the whole Gaddish and shake the, or not knock down, but you shake all of the bundles that make up the Gaddish that you're using as schach. And in such a case, it would only be possible midrabanan, because the nanua, the shaking it and the moving it, is an asiya. So you can't call it tasav l'menasui. Oh, but it would be a dindrabanan that we don't want you to be chotit b'gaddish, because you might forget to shake the schach that's on top. So you can explain either Mishnah either way, meaning there's no reason, doesn't seem to be any compelling logic to say that our Mishnah is only working within a din midrabanan, and the Mishnah of Achotit Begadish is only working within a din da'oraisa. There's no reason to say that way. Either Mishnah can be referring to either type of case, to a din da'oraisa or a din drabanan. So says where Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lach, Rabbi Yochanan would respond to you, Hacha deketani ein mesachin behen lechachila hudei mesachin mishum gzeres otzer. Hadaraisa shapir davi. Over here, the lashon that our Mishnah uses is, you should not do this. It does not say ein sukkah, that it's not a sukkah. It says you should not do this, and therefore that gives the impression that it's only a din midrabanan mishum gzeres otzer, but on a daraisa level, it would have been perfectly fine to use these chavilos. So it must be that we're talking about chavilos that you put there l'shem tzel. Whereas Hassam, in the case of Chotei Begadish, the Ketani ain't a sukkah. It describes ain't a sukkah. It's not a sukkah. So I feel diavet. That sounds like even b'diavet, it's not a sukkah. Midaraisa nami ain't a sukkah. So that implies that midaraisa, it's not a sukkah at all. Question is, what does the chachil and b'diavet have to do with anything? Meaning, something that's pasul midrabanan is pasul b'diavet also, right? We don't say, it's only rabbinic. Okay, so if you did it already, it's good enough. No, psum drabanan or pasul b'diavet as well. So Tosfos actually says, yes, take away the word the chachila from our sugya. The psul of chavilin is not only a psul of chachila, it's a psul b'diavet also. The rabbanan would say that if you took bundles and you threw them on top of your sukkah and you did not untie them, you left them on top of your sukkah like that, even though that's only, and even though you did it l'shem tzel, the rabbanan would say it's pasul, even though you've already done it, even though it's b'diavet. The real chilik is Hadaraisa hadrabanan. It's not the lashon of lechatchila b'diavet. So, what's the lashon that implies daraisa and lashon that implies b'diavet? And lashon that implies drabanan? When it says ein mesachin behen, so this we had earlier in the mesach, we had all the way back in that base. There's a difference between describing what the person's responsibility is and describing the chefza shel sukkah. When you say that the chefza shel sukkah is pasul, that's a psul daraisa. When you say, oh, here's what you should do about it, or here's what you can't do about it, and when we describe it in terms of the gavra, that's a psul on a drabana level. Just like we have in that Beis Amid Aleph where we contrasted a sukkah l'malam echaf hama and a mavoi, that's l'malam echaf hama, where he said, why is it when it comes to a sukkah l'malam echaf hama, we just said pasul, that it's pasul. When it comes to a mavoi l'malam echaf hama, the kor over a mavoi that's l'malam echaf hama, we said yima'it, you should lower the bean. So the Gemara explained, the Gemara gave two answers on Beis Amar Aleph, but one of the answers was that when it's a dinda or raisa, you say pasul. When it's a dinda rabbanan, you tell me what to do about it. You tell me to lower it. So that's why I think we pointed out at the time, Rav Shachter often points out, or at least when we were learning Sukkah, he pointed out that this probably fits very, very nicely with the famous Nesivus in Siman Reish Lamed Daled, where the Nesivus deals with the issue of whether we work with the assumption that Isurim are Isurei Gavra or Isurei Chefza. Meaning we know that briskers have a really good time trying to make everything about a chilek between a Gavra and a Chefza, and it's a lot of, it's an exercise to try to figure out what's an Isurei Gavra. But in Shas, we don't really have so many times that we have a difference in Gavra and Chefza. You have Neder, Nedava, right? There aren't too many chilukim between Gavra and Chefza. So the Nesivus writes, not in so many words, but this is what he means to say clearly, that whenever you're dealing with Nisa Daraisa, you're dealing with Nisa Chefza. Whenever you're dealing with Nisa Drabbanan, you assume it's Nisa Gavra. Meaning, the Isra Chefza means that the object is fundamentally has characteristics of Isser. Only Hashem can fundamentally give an object characteristics of Isser. But the Isser Gavra means that I'm being told what to do. The Rabbanan can boss me around. They can tell me what to do and what not to do. So that's a din in the Gavra, whenever you have din in the Rabbanan. So over here, when we say Ein Mesach and Ben, that's commenting on the Gavra. We're telling me what not to do. When you say that it's Ein Osukah, you're commenting on the Chefza. You're saying this is not a Sukkah. So that's why it's more of a Lashon that implies Midah Oraisa. Now, says the Gemara Vayter. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss different types of gidule karka and whether they're kosher to be used for schach. Amar Avidam Rav, sikcha b'chitzin zecharin. If you use the male part of the arrow that has a protrusion at the end, so ksheira, it's going to be kosher. Even though it's part of a kli, but it doesn't have a base kibul, so it's not mekabel tumah. There's no receptacle in the male part of the arrow, meaning there were two, the arrows were made up of two pieces. There was the sharp edge that had a base kibul inside of it, and then you would stick the stick into the base kibul. So the stick part is what we call the zachar, the male part of the arrow. So that's going to be kosher. But in the kevos, if you use the nekeva part that has an actual, it doesn't have to be metal. The pointy part, it could be wood that's pointed, but it has a base kibul. So psula, then it's going to be possible because since it has a base kibul, it's mekabel tumah, and anything that's mekabel tumah is not going to be good for schach. So the Gemara says, what's the chiddush? Zacharim ksheira pshita. Obviously, the male part is just a stick. It's a wooden stick, so of course it's going to be kosher. So as well, ma'od etem zacharim nigzor zacharim out of the kevos kamash malan. I might have thought that we should make a gzeira that if I'm not allowed to use the nekeva part of the arrow, we should make a gzeira that I shouldn't use the zachar part of the arrow either, because I might get confused between the two and think, oh, arrows are okay to use. So kamash malan. That's why we need to be told that there is no such gzeira over here. So then the Gemara discusses what Rav goes on to say. The nekevos psula. He says to use the female part of the arrow is pasul. Pshita, of course it's pasul. It's got a base kibul. Why would it be kosher? So it says Gemara, no, it's v'chiddush. Ma'od the tema base kibul also in the ma'od sloshme kibul. Kamash malan. I might have thought that a base kibul that's only meant to be filled up, meaning the base kibul that the nekeva part of the arrow is that part of the arrow is useless until you fill it with the male part of the arrow. So I might think that any base kibul that the only way to use it is to fill the base kibul, I would think that that's not considered a kli since it's also in the malus. It's not called the base kibul. So kamash malan. That's why Rav needs to tell us that such a base kibul, even though it's also the malus, is also called a base kibul. So meaning essentially our Gemara's conclusion, the way we're reading it, the way most Rishonim understand it, is that anytime you have a base kibul that's also the malus, it's considered a base kibul. However, some of the Rishonim understand that the maskana of the Gemara is that a base kibul that's also the malus is not a base kibul, and the reason that these female sections of the arrows are mekabel tumah is that they're not really asur the malos forever. They're only asur the malos for eis milchama, but not really forever. So therefore, it's considered a base kibul that's not asur the malos. Meaning, the question is always, I might have thought that a base kibul asur the malos is lo shmei kibul. So kamash malin what? Kamash malin that's incorrect. That it is called base kibul, or kamash malin that you're right. It's not called a base kibul when it's asur the malos. But this isn't really asur the malos. This for an arrow. You're only gonna fill it in when it comes to times of war. So that's a discussion in the the Rishonim. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses using Pishtan. Now Pishtan, a little bit of background. Pishtan goes through a process in order to make it usable for a spinning thread. First they would soak the stalks of Pishtan in water, then they would crush it very finely, and then they would comb it. And after all that, it's then rotwi to be spun into threads. So Gemara discusses, can you use Pishtan for schach in each of its stages of production? So number one, if you're misakech with anitze pishtan that went through all three levels and it's now ready to be turned into thread, psula, then that's absolutely no good, because that's mekabel tuma, it's already a beged, it's like mekabel tumas in the goyim, so it's possible for sikuch, meaning we assume being able to be mekabel tumas tzara'as is enough of a reason to passel it. Because it's not woven, so it wouldn't be mekabel tumas meis. Normally, begadim could even be mekabel tumas meis, but that's only if it's a woven beged. Over here, it's raw flax. It's just been processed, but it hasn't been woven into a beged yet. So it can only be mekabel tumas negaim, and not, there's a shayla nilchus nida, the halacha nilchus nida, if you find a kesem on a davar sheni mekabel tuma, so it's not going to be metame the isha. So there's a discussion in the Nasa Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, nilchus nida, what if you find a kesem on your house? Right, meaning it's on the floor of the house, it's on the wall of the house, it's on the shower, right? It's shayich to find some such a thing on the toilet bowl, right? Which is mamish mechubel karka, it's part of the house. So do you say that a house is not mekabel tumah because you put a dead body in the house does not become tameh, the inside of the house becomes tameh, but the actual structure of the house doesn't become tameh, it's not mekabel tumah? Or do you say no, it's mekabel tumah, it's negayin, such a thing as negay batin, that homes can become tameh. So in Hilchos Nida we assume that being mekabel tumah is negayin is not called kabbalah tumah. But over here we seem to be assuming that as far as sukkah is concerned, being mekabel tumah is negayin is enough to call the pishtan mekabel tumah. What if buhutzne pishtan? You use the stalks of pishtan before they're even soaked in the water. So very raw pishtan, then ksheva. Then for sure it's going to be kosher. It hasn't gone through any process. And it's like any other the item that grows from the ground that you're allowed to use for schach. Buhushne pishtan in yodea mahu. But what about hushne pishtan? So Rabbi Yochanan says he doesn't know whether it's kosher for sikuch or not. Vuhushne atzman eini yodea, and I don't know what hushne even means, meaning which stage. We just gave the two most extreme examples, pishtan that have gone through all three stages and pishtan that have gone through zero stages. So there are two things in between that, right? There's that which went through one stage of production and that which went through two stages of production. So we know Rabbi Yochanan's unsure about hushne, but we're unsure even what he means by hushne. So manavshach, if Rabbi Yochanan is referring to the second stage that it was crushed but it was not combed, hushne karile, that he calls hushne, and he says he doesn't know what the din is, aval tari velodayik, but if it were soaked in water and it were not crushed, hutzne karile, Rabbi Yochanan would call that hutzne, and he would say that you're mutter to be misakech, or dilmor, maybe not, maybe tari velodayik nami hushne karile, maybe he calls both of them hushne, he calls whether it went through one or two stages of the process, it calls it hushne. So we're not sure what he meant by that. So it turns out that only pishtan that hasn't gone through the process at all can you be confident that it's mutter to be misakech. Well, because after that it's at least a suffix what Rabbi Yochanan meant. So then the Gemara is going to move on. The next piece is going to be about using items that are not mekabel tuma, but maybe there's another reason. Even something that's gidule karka is not mekabel tuma. Maybe there are other reasons not to use certain items because it would lead a person to leave the sukkah. It happens to be this discussion of pishtan over here is used in the discussion of schach mats, which now seems to be very mekubal, but it was a tumult whether a schach could be a mat, could be laid out as a mat, or you could just or you have to use just loose branches. Because there's a machlokas rishonim what the problem is with anitze pishtan. The Rambam says that even though kol zman that it's not spun into threads, it's not right to be mekabel tuma, and it's gidule karka, so it shouldn't be possible in the Torah. But it's a gezeira mitrabana not to be mesakich with it because it's nishtana tzura. gusso from the type, from the way that it grew. Whereas the Rabbi gives another reason. He says pishtan that's nidak v'nifatz, you can use this karamuksasos, you could use this cushioning, and therefore it would then be able to be makabel tuma ali de davaracher by using it by, you know, together with the cushion, together with the pillowcase or whatever. So therefore you shouldn't use it because it has a din of a davar makabel tuma. Tosos gives a third reason. He says because it could, it's so close to being makabel tuma when you spin it into threads, so because it could then become the makabel tuma snagayim, and therefore that's the reason we mentioned before as we read the Gemara. So nafkamina might be if you have something that's cotton, that according to Tosos it's right to be makabel tumas negayim, so that psul is not shaykh except for tzemer pishtim, because tumas begadim only applies to tzemer pishtim, doesn't apply to cotton, because that's the whenever the Torah refers to a beged, it always refers to only tzemer pishtim. And but according to the Rambam and the Ravid, the same would apply to cotton. So based on that, the Acharonim discuss what about a schach mat that's made from small slats that are held together with cotton threads, with cotton strings. So nowadays they already outsmarted this. They already came up with better ways to hold the schach mats together, so it's not something that's makabel tuma that's holding them together. But if you have cotton threads that are holding it together, is that called that you're maimed your whole schach with the davar makabel tuma? And generally speaking, we try to be machmir that we should not be maimed the schach with the davar makabel tuma. So if the whole schach is being held together by cotton threads, it's tully in this machlokas rishonim whether that's called a davar makabel tuma or not. Okay, there's a lot more to say about schach mats, but not for now. So b'shem tomorrow we will pick up. We'll be back at tomorrow's the last day that we're going to be at 6:30 p.m. Bezras Hashem doing Tuesday's daf. And then Bezras Hashem, Wednesday morning, 6:15 a.m., back to normal schedule starting Wednesday morning. Everyone have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Thank you.